Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
let's just play dumb music.
Okay, Patrick, Suburbs Fest South is not far away. It's not far off now. We're getting closer. We're going to be in Louisville, Kentucky, August 3rd, 4th, and 5th with a series of events. And you go to suburbspod.com and you can find all the details there. But what we're going to focus on with this episode of Rockin' the Suburbs, I'm Jim Lenahan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
What we're going to focus on here is a band you need to know, whether you go to Suburbs Fest or not, but hopefully you will.
Right.
But a band you need to know, they're going to be playing in the capper, the Saturday night rock and roll blowout, right?
Yes.
At 21st in Germantown, preceding Dash Rip Rock, we will have The Excuses, a Louisville band. And with us here today to talk about his band, The Excuses, is Dave. And Dave, say your full name for us here.
I'm Dave Wilkinsberg, and thanks for having me. This is going to be a lot of fun. We're excited about the fest, and your podcast is a lot of fun. We enjoyed watching your March Madness recently go through. That was a blast.
So Dave and I, we kind of sort of met a little bit through a mutual friend, my friend Tom Nord, who lives in Louisville, who I've known forever. And Dave came on the one or maybe a couple more, I can't remember, the Friday night Hootenannies that we did a little bit during the lockdown days. And so when we had this opportunity to get a band on that bill for Saturday night, The Excuses was the first band I thought of. Let's give The Excuses some love. So tell the listeners here a little bit about who The Excuses are. How would you describe your music, I guess? And then, kind of a little bit about your backstory.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a lot of fun getting on that side of the podcast as well during, that was the peak of COVID. So, we weren't able to get together for band practice and things like that. So the other guitar player, Danny Cash, and I were able to get on there once or twice at least. It was fun. So The Excuses, we started out kind of playing mostly kind of power pop, like a garagey take on power pop. Our newer stuff we're going into record in the next couple of weeks here is still power pop, but going into kind of early mid-70s kind of proto punk type stuff as well.
Oh, cool.
And we've always had a little bit of that, but it's kind of getting to be the forefront of the flavor on these new songs, which is a lot of fun. They're a little bit faster and it's a lot of fun to play. So the backstory of the band, the drummer and I have been playing together for 25 plus years. His first drum kit was one I bought off of a buddy in high school. I think I paid $75 for a drum kit. And I had an old Silvertone guitar you could get for way really cheap back then. And we kind of just learned how to play together and learned how to write together. And we went through a few different bands. We were a band called The Blow Up in Japanese, that opened for some bands we were pretty excited about and played on the radio. And then that band broke up. But while we were together, we met another band in town called Jay Kessinger and the Verlaines, which were kind of doing, Alice Cooper's band backing Elvis Costello. It's kind of, so like really, really good garage rock or bar band type thing, backing really crafted songs. And they also had a flair for drama. Like there was a touch of like Red Cross and Sparks in there too. And so we immediately, like, first show we played together was fall of 2000 for a benefit for the local public radio called Clash and Cash. And every band covered a Johnny Cash song and a Clash song.
I remember that. When was that?
I want to say it was October or November of 2000.
Yes.
It was at Phoenix Hill Tavern. Yeah. Yep. It was a lot of fun.
Cool.
So that's where our paths first crossed. Different versions of bands with different names and different members, we'd always play together, but the members of the bands were always kind of separate. So my wife and I moved out of Louisville for a while, and those guys kind of did their own thing. The guys and Jay Kessinger, the leader of Jay Kessinger, his most noteworthy project was he released a Fortis box set of 100 songs as one album for his band, which was and just immense project that took him for a long time. Wow. And when he finished that, he was kind of ready for a break from music. So when I moved back to Louisville, I tried to get a couple different projects together, and none of them were really working the way I wanted them to. And none of those guys were really actively playing a lot of music at the time. So, you know, we were all we were all in our 30s at that point and getting busy with other things. So I was like, I want to play music. I like playing music with these guys. What's the best way to get there? And so the idea was, let's just play dumb music. Let's music that's just not hard to learn. That's fun to play. It's fun to watch, fun to listen to. And so that was the original incarnation, was just, let's make a dumb band. And the original idea was imagined like Brian James era Damned covering Boston. So you kind of get the whole spectrum of dumb kinds of music, dumb being trying way too hard to do way complex things, kind of dumb, which is great, like Boston, or dumb just being as dumb as, you know, that first Damned record was, which is one of our favorite records. And so that's kind of how it started. And then kind of just we started out playing kind of leftover songs from other projects we had, playing a few covers, and then we started, you know, kind of figuring out our own sound and writing new songs for this project. And talking about being a dumb band, a conversation I had with Tom Nord, I think last time he saw us, we were at a bar in Louisville called Knock Bar, and we were talking about, you know, us being a dumb band. And I mentioned the movie Hype. You guys remember that documentary Hype about mm-hmm. the Seattle scene?
Yep.
And there's a great quote, I think it's from, I think Tad, the grunge band Tad, was saying, you know, he said, you know, we'd seen Spinal Tap, where they were like pointing at other bands, like, look at these dumb metal bands. And there are bands like Kiss saying, like, you know, almost treating their fans like they're dumb. And Tad said, we're the dumb ones. Like, we can point our fingers at ourselves. And that was kind of a big part of like what I want to do with this. Like, can we do more complex, interesting things? Maybe, but why? if we can have fun and we can make music that people enjoy listening to and we enjoy playing, let's just keep it dumb. And so that's kind of that's where it started. It's kind of grown from there, but that's still the heart of it.
Yeah, I see on your Bandcamp page, it says dumb music for discerning people.
Yeah, you know, I respect our audience for sure. You know, it's very much not like, I don't think the people who listen to us are dumb, but I think they right. are capable of understanding that dumb is not a bad thing in some right. situations.
I love yeah. it.
Right, they get it, right? So,
exactly, yeah.
Speaking of Bandcamp, so you have the one album on there called At Last?
Yeah, yep. Mm-hmm.
And that was 2019. At Last, The Excuses.
At Last.
Yeah, right. it was a bit of a journey making that one. We recorded the initial recording in just 3 days, but then we weren't exactly satisfied with how it came out. So the post-production and mixing and editing just seemed to go on forever and ever and ever. And while we were doing that, I went to see Mott the Hoople, or the current version of Mott the Hoople, up in Detroit, and Ian Hunter was in a band. I can't remember the full name, but it was something about At Last! Exclamation and the rest of the name of the band. I was like, there's an urgency to that. There's an excitement to that. So I kind of stole that for the album title.
Nice.
So for someone who has not yet heard your music, what would be the first song you would point them toward?
The big set closer, and we still close it sometimes, but it's the only song that's in every single set I think we've ever played, is track number 5, And Andy Sang. Nice. So that's the only one I think that's been in every set we've ever played. Whatever Our Pleasure, that was kind of one of the ones I mentioned earlier, where it's kind of a leftover from a previous project, but it's definitely transformed into an Excuses song. Brent, our bass player, kind of calls it our theme song.
Okay, well,
Friday nights.
So hang on.
Okay,
if that's your theme song, and then that's track 1 on the album. Let's just start with that. Let's just hear a little bit of Whatever Our Pleasure.
Baby, I'm an avatar. I focus
right, there you go. So that, I guess you consider that sort of the theme song because the name of the band is in the lyrics.
That's that's definitely a part of it. And also, the name, The Excuses, comes from, as I mentioned earlier, we didn't start till we were all in our 30s, and our jobs and families and everything like that led to us canceling or postponing practice on a regular basis. So that's kind of where the name started. And in the lyrics, I think, whatever our pleasure, we do it at our leisure, things like that, kind of capture that feeling as well. And, and it's also the namesake of Andy Tsang wrote a nice little blurb for us when that album came out. And he talks about how music is an excuse itself. It's an excuse to go to the record shop and talk to somebody and learn more about music. It's an excuse to go to a show and socialize. It's an excuse to just hang out playing music with your friends. So it's kind of both sides of that. Like, our lives are busy, and so we have lots of excuses to not, do this thing that we enjoy doing. But it's also, the music itself is an excuse to really capture life and love that part of life.
Cool. And Dave, you were saying that the new stuff you're recording is even a little faster and more proto-punk sounding than that, because that has a really nice motor to it.
That's definitely probably the garagiest one on the first album. The other one that's in that same vein on the first album is Across the Continent, which is 100% a throwback from a previous project. And so it was just I think it's like 2 minutes long, so it's quick and fun, and so we included it on the album. The new one still has a variety. We still have the power pop. Okay. We still have the mid-tempo stuff. But my opening track on it is fierce and fast and simple. It was so stripped down. It's essentially like a two chord riff on the verses. I felt obligated to kind of build on it. So I try to steal some tricks from ABBA for the final chorus. I don't know if it'll work or not, but we enjoy doing it that way. And then the track we've been closing with is one of Danny, the other guitar players, one of his heaviest, and it's a challenge for me to play, because I kind of started out playing, I was into Donovan and the Monkees and the Lovin' Spoonful, and so I kind of play these jangly chords, and this is definitely coming out of a heavier vein, so it's kind of a fun challenge for me to kind of take on.
Cool. Very, very cool. So just listening to your comments there, is the songwriting process in the band one where someone will bring in a song where you've got lyrics and changes and everything to it? Or do you guys collaborate, when you get there and sort of work it up?
All of the above. So the drummer is the most collaborative. He'll come in with some chords and a vocal melody, and we'll kind of play around with that for a while. At least one of the songs, maybe both of the songs he did on the last album, he collaborated on with somebody from outside the band. There's a little band called Adventure, that's one of the best bands around. Joe from Adventure co-wrote Your Town on the first record.
We'll be right back.
And he also co-wrote one of the new songs on the new record too. And cool. we love what they've been doing for a long, long time. So it's fun to kind of work with that. Brent is the one who kind of comes usually with the most finished songs. He's the one who did the 100 song album. So he kind of has his method that works so well. And so then Danny and I are somewhere in the middle. I usually come in with pretty like the lyrics and the melody and structure. But then we usually tweak it and fine tune it together. I'm one that oftentimes I'm a big fan of like mid '60s like first wave psychedelia. So I can kind of sometimes get lost in hearing sounds and losing the structure. And Danny and Brent are really, really good at helping me like kind of pull the structure back together. And Danny comes in. He's kind of a little closer to Brent than I am. But he's really good about kind of letting me play around with guitar melodies and harmonies and other things. He lets me play a pizza box as percussion on one song, which is a lot of fun. Yeah.
Well, I was wondering how you and Danny mesh, right? Because people may know Danny was in another Louisville band that they've probably heard of, right? So he was in My Morning Jacket some years ago.
Huh? And yeah,
I don't think of My Morning Jacket as power pop or even really garage. Certainly kind of a dirty band, but more kind of earthy, I think, than garage rock, right? So how does his style mesh with yours?
I think that's one of the things that is most exciting for us as kind of playing together is, he kind of comes from a very much like a, like you said, the kind of earthier sound. So he's kind of, filling out a kind of bottom end of the guitar, sound. And he's kind of bringing in these, more complex rhythms sometimes. Whereas I kind of will come in with more jangle and more of the different inversions and voicings and stuff. So I'm playing like a old not an old one. I'm playing just a Esquire, which is like a Telecaster with just like the bridge pickup. And so it has it's a really jangly sound that cuts through all the other sounds. So it's great for me because our drummer, as you heard from that track, is kind of in the Keith Moon vein. So depending on the sound of the venue, sometimes all I can hear are cymbals, and having that bright sound on my guitar, I can hear myself through the cymbals pretty easily. And then Danny comes through with the classic Les Paul sound. So they play off each other, and those sounds I think highlight our styles pretty well and complement our styles pretty well.
Well, this is going to be great, Jim, because when we interviewed Bill Davis from Dash Rep Rock, he did mention that the drummer they're bringing to Louisville has a lot of Keith Moon in him, too. So
it'll
be a good night for drums. Yeah.
No, I think these two bands are going to go together really well. And this is going to be
glove.
I mean, people, if you can survive this night, you can survive anything. That's what I would tell people.
That's right.
Okay. Well, everybody, head on out. 21st in Germantown is the venue. Mm-hmm. It's going to be Saturday night, August 5th. I think the music's going to get started around 8:00 with The Excuses, and you are not going to want to miss this. This is going to be a blast. All right. Anything else, Patrick?
No, I'm just really looking forward to it, and I want to encourage everyone to not only make it out there if you can, but also check out this Excuses record on Bandcamp. I mean, it's a bargain. For $7, you can get it and spin it. It's what I've heard so far. It looks great. So I can't wait to see them live and do the new stuff.
Yep. Yeah. So the album, the current album is called At Last. You can find that on Bandcamp, and you can stream it also at various streaming services. And you don't have physical copies of it?
We do not. Nope. We might have some. We've got some CD cases ready to go, so we'll try to get some of those set up before August.
Awesome. Cool. Awesome. Excellent. And you said you're working on a new album. So what's the timetable on that?
We go into the studio July 15th. Like I said, with the first one, the post production lasted for ages. So our goal with this one is to try to knock it out the whole thing from start to finish real quickly. And not have that albatross around our neck again. Hopefully we'll have some at least a date for it by the end of the year, if not out by the end of the year.
Great. Excellent. All right. And you'll be playing some of those songs at the show?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep. Yeah. It'll be a mix of old and new for sure.
So this is great. It's give people a chance to hear these songs before they're even pressed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thanks very much for being on our show, Dave. And we look
thanks forward for having me. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Seeing you in a little bit. And we'll buy you a beer. All right.
That sounds good. Yeah.
After having that 2-year-old, this is your big night out. So, you know, so we'll treat you.
You were
right.
Not kidding.
All right. I mean, Patrick and I have been there. We know what that's like. In fact, when you mentioned that show in 2000, the Clash and Cash show or whatever, I know I so distinctly remember wanting to go to that, but not being able to, because that was like our daughter was like newborn at that time. And I know what that's like to sort of be in like infant jail, right? You can't, you know, do you sort of feel. I know there's an outside world out there somewhere. Someday I'll return to it. Yeah.
Maybe so. I'll see it again.
That's right. Okay. All right. So there you go. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us has been
Dave Wilkinsburg from The Excuses.
Awesome.
Thanks, all right, Dave.
Thanks. We'll talk to you later. Come see The Excuses. That's about all I got to say. Just come see The Excuses, right?
What else do you need to know? Yeah.